Verse 40. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Are you ready for what's coming next? Do you even know what's coming next in your life? We like to think we do. Or we don't like to think about it at all. But being ready, that's a tough commandment. I wasn't sure what I'd preach on week 4 of a 3-part series, The Rising Strong, that we've been looking at. But I saw the challenge, the reckoning, grumble, revolution in Luke 12, verse 40. You also must be ready. Are you ready? Are you seeking possibilities and considering the probabilities? That's reckoning. Last week, Jeff used the analogy of wrestling. That's the same as what Brené Brown, the author, uses the term rumble. There's no coasting in the Christian life and journey. And being able to answer, are you ready? Maybe a true revolution, a turning point in our hearts and in our minds. Some context, you know, context matters, right? If your Bible uses red letters attributed to Jesus, you'll note there are several chapters worth here. And there's some phrases in this text that we toss around a lot, but we rarely define. And one is the Son of Man. It's used as a title for the Messiah. And it is described in that intense vision part of the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Where it says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming down from the heavens. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. So the Son of Man indicates one that is human. So when the Old Testament writers describe the Messiah, God's special ambassador, as the Son of Man, they're saying that the Savior is going to be a human, but a special human, one with a divine kingdom. And then we consider kingdom of God. That's a more complicated definition. My NIV Study Bible notes said this, that in essence, the kingdom of God means God's rule over all the earth. And the coming of the Messiah ushered in the kingdom, a less earthly, politically focused kingdom, one with a heavenly and spiritual focus. And it says that God's full reign begins when Christ returns. That's the second coming. We've heard that phrase. And we live in a time described by theology experts as the already not yet. The theological concept already not yet holds that believers are taking part in the kingdom of God right now, although the kingdom will not reach its full expression until sometime in the future. We're in the red part, the already part of God's kingdom. But we do not yet see all its glory. The already to the left of me and the not yet to the right. And here I am stuck in the middle with you. Steeler's wheel. I had to look that one up. A one-hit wonder. Now others might disagree with that. That God's kingdom and authority was way also before the time of Christ. Right? We aren't in between. We are always part of God's kingdom. I liked in 2 Timothy chapter 1, explains it this way. God saved us and called us to live a holy life, and he did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. George Ladd is a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary, and he explained that there's two meanings, two ways to look at kingdom of God. Number one is that God's authority and right to rule. And number two is then the realm, the place, the kingdom that exists where God influences and uses his authority. So the kingdom is one we've already entered and one that we are yet to enter. So the kingdom of God is both present and future. Some people, including me, prefer the phrase the reign of God, R-E-I-G-N, reign. It's a little less militaristic, patriarchal than kingdom. Maybe to me it's a little purer focus. This stuff can be very heady, I know. Is there a difference between God having a kingdom and a reign? For me, yes. For you, maybe not. But it comes out of the verse in Romans 5, just as sin reigned in death, even so God's faithful covenant justice, grace might reign to the life of the age to come through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the grace of God, God's reign in us, is from everlasting to everlasting. Thanks be to God. So we can't get too fussy about concepts, because concepts are not what gets us right with God. And later in chapter 17, Luke writes, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people be able to say, 'Here it is, there it is.'" We are not able to pin it down where it is. Luke 17 says, "The kingdom of God is within you." At least that's what it says in the NIV, but the NRSV says, "The kingdom of God is among you." So is it within us? Is it among us? Individually and corporately? Righteousness and peace and joy, that's the kingdom of God. And when is that future reign going to happen? Well, be ready all the time, for the Messiah will come when we least expect. A quick aside, because I was doing Reformed theology for you, God's irresistible grace. Mull that one over. Irresistible grace. I think that might be my favorite. And a theologian named Jonathan Cleese explained it really easily in a blog thing. Is irresistible grace does not mean that God's grace is incapable of being resisted. Indeed, we are capable of resisting, and we do resist God's grace. The idea is that God's grace is so powerful that it has the capacity to overcome our natural resistance. It's not that the Holy Spirit drags people kicking and screaming to Christ against their wills. The Holy Spirit changes the inclination and the disposition of our will so that where we were unwilling to embrace Christ, now we are willing, and more than willing. Indeed, we aren't dragged to Christ, we run to Christ. And we embrace Christ joyfully because the Spirit has changed our hearts. And without that work, that irresistible grace, we wouldn't have a desire to come to Christ. Someday, sometime, we are not going to be able to resist a call from God, because it will be time for us to go to eternity. The song lyric says, "Till he returns or calls me home." The scripture says, "Be ready all the time." Oh, how do we be ready? Brené Brown, in her book, Rising Strong, writes, "It's time to rumble. Time to unleash our curiosity. Time to poke, prod, and explore the ins and outs of our story." The first question we ask in the rumble, sometimes the first questions are the simplest. They're listed on your bulletin bookmark, so you have to take them home. What more can I What more do I need to learn and understand about the situation? What do I know objectively? What assumptions am I making? What do I need to learn and understand about other people in my story? What additional information do I need? What questions or clarifications might help? And then we get to more difficult questions, ones that take courage and practice. What do I need to learn and understand about myself? What's underneath my response? What am I really feeling? What part do I play? How we rumble with our story and how we approach these questions depends on who we are and what we've experienced. So how do we begin being ready? What do we need to know? All people are going to die. We will. It makes sense to be ready for that. We're assuming, of course, that we all will live long and strong lives. That's quite an assumption. And what other information do you need? Well, there's those pesky things called variables that are impossible to predict. Those sneaky variables. There's statistics that might tell you how long you're going to live, but there's also randomness and mystery and grace. And that all may affect our being ready. But it takes courage and practice to answer, what do I know about myself? Am I afraid or am I confident? Do I live in hope or in fear? And what does God's will determine? What does it mean to be in God's care? And where does God's care and the laws of physiology and physics intersect? The rumble is in our thinking, our feeling, our reacting, and you have to do that work on your own. I give you lots of questions, but not a lot of answers. And the intention was to have this whole series be about being ready for the second coming or for our individual going home to God time. The trouble is, when I thought that, I was thinking in the abstract, not in the horrendous reality of intense mom grief. So we put that whole series aside because sometimes you can't be prepared. But with a mustard seed worth of faith, we can be ready to cope with anything. So how do we move forward? How do we plan for what's coming, whatever it might be? This is my list. The lists from the internet were way too long. And I'm not very good at that. Some of these. Number one, plan ahead for emergencies. When our power went out a couple weeks ago, I couldn't even find a matches or a lighter. Yeah, I got to get organized. Hang on to your earthly things loosely, right? Things on earth fail and break and rust out. The scripture said something about moths coming in. I haven't seen a moth in my garments lately. See the big picture around you and see time as an earthly concept. Expect surprises. Could you have predicted your life story to now? We have no idea how that's going to happen. And I say mostly trust that you're never alone. So hang on to heavenly things tightly. I've said it before, I probably will say it again from Romans 14. We don't live or die just for ourselves. If we live, we're living for the Lord. And if we die, we're dying for the Lord. So whether we're living or dying, we belong to the Lord. And that's why Christ died and rose from death to life again, so that he could be Lord over all who have died and over all who are living. Almost 600 years ago, Saint Teresa of Avila wrote it this way: "Let nothing disturb you, let nothing make you afraid. All things pass, but God is unchanging. Patience is enough for everything. You who have God lack nothing. God alone is sufficient." Similarly, in 2002, Stuart Townend and Keith Getty wrote these lyrics: "No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from God's hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand." Rumble with this: you must be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Let's pray. Lord, help me be confident in this life and prepared for whenever you return or call me to the next. Amen.